Okay, so the topic that I want to speak about this morning is the topic of preparing for Shavuos. Hayom HaKadosh HaBa Aleinu L'Tova. We know that every single holiday by Klal Yisrael, we say on every Yontif, we say Zman Cheruseinu, Zman Simchaseinu, Zman Matan Toraseinu. Doesn't just mean that we're commemorating an event that happened a long time ago. It means that this is the Zman. This is the Zman. There's something, the Maharal says this in a few places, others say there's something special about this time of year, that this is the Zman. This is Zman Matan Toraseinu. If we're going to have a Yontif of Shavuos, HaBa Aleinu L'Tova, this means that there are going to be special abilities in that Yom Tov, special abilities on that day for every Jew to be able to be Kone Kinyonim in Torah, to be Mekabel HaTorah, to receive Torah once again every single year. So this Shavuos, that means we have the opportunity, this Shavuos. That means we have a special opportunity, this Shavuos, to be Mekabel Torah, to be Mechazak ourselves in Kabbalah HaTorah one more time. This is why we make ourselves crazy, we stay up all night. So the Litvaks, so some people they say, I can really learn a lot more if I don't stay up all night. Make a cheshbin, I'm so tired, and how much do you really learn at 3 in the morning? And 3 o'clock in the morning, I can't focus anymore, so the learning's not so good. If I would just get a good night's sleep, so I'd be able to learn the whole day, I could learn. But I don't know, I come from the tradition that says, yeah, I know that's true. Could be Alpi cheshbin of the hours. You'll have more hours that way. But the whole idea is supposed to show excitement for Torah. It's supposed to show that I can't go to sleep. How can you go to sleep, Klai Yisrael's about to receive Torah, Hashem Yisparach. How can you go to sleep? That we want to be excited. We want to make up for that late wake-up that happens sometimes the rest of the year, that happened originally all those years back, the late wake-up that happened on the morning of Klai Yisrael. One of the members of my family who will remain nameless almost missed his own bar mitzvah because of his late wake-up. How could you possibly sleep through? HaKadosh Baruch is about to give Klai Yisrael the Torah. So we stay up all night. So I'm very fond of quoting, I've said this many, many times, there's many, many hachanas that we have to make before the holiday of Shavuos. I never said it in a Hashkafish Mus, at least it's not on YU Torah, so if it's not on YU Torah, it means I never said it. So, but there's a very beautiful Aruch Chaim that I always quote around Shavuos time, and it connects to a whole bunch of other beautiful Torahs about Shavuos. But I think especially making the hachanas, making the preparations before the Yontif of Shavuos, so this pasuk and this Aruch Chaim clearly addresses this issue. The famous Aruch Chaim, the Aruch Chaim points out that the very second pasuk in Perek Yud Tes, in Parshas Yisro, the very second pasuk addresses the hachanos, the preparations that Klal Yisrael needs to make before the Yontif of Shavuos. That's what we're holding it right now. The preparations. We're going to read Bamidbar the Shabbos. That's one of them also. Bamidbar, generally speaking, falls out the Shabbos prior to Shavuos. Aruch Chaim points out there's a pasuk that's extra. Pasuk says, "Vayisum Refidim, Vayavo Bnei Yisrael Midbar Sina Vayachnu BaMidbar Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar." The whole pasuk's extra because the pasuk before already said, "Right Bayom Bachodesh Hashlishli Tseis Bnei Yisrael Beretz Hayom Azeh Bo Midbar Sinai." It already said they got to Midbar Sinai. Then it goes backwards. "Vayisum Refidim Vayachnu BaMidbar." It's backwards. It's out of order. Already said in the first pasuk they came to Midbar. Then it says that they traveled from Refidim and got to Midbar Sinai. Vayachnu BaMidbar Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. So Aruch Chaim says the three parts of this pasuk refer to three hachanos that Klal Yisrael needed to make at that time before Mamad Har Sinai. Three hachanos that we have to make if we want to be Mekabli HaTorah. The first one is Vayisu Me Refidim. Chazal say Refidim was Rafu Yedem in the Torah, was weakness. Vayisu Me Refidim means to study the Torah requires tremendous strength. It requires physical strength. And even more than physical, zitzfleisch, what we call zitzfleisch, even more than physical strength, it requires mental strength, mental toughness, focus. Kind of like a guy who, let's say, he's playing a video game on his phone for a half hour, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours at a time. He can focus on one thing. It's amazing what the powers of focus we have and the things that we focus on. But, so we have focus. You can focus on something. To study Torah requires focus. It's very difficult. We now grew up in a generation where your email buzzes in at you and the text buzzes in at you. I was watching a beautiful video yesterday, a very beautiful video about how we've lost the power to focus. We've lost the power to concentrate because we're used to everything we do. You put a little buzz, everything you do, boop, another buzz, a little beep, a little. So we've lost the power of focus. We've lost the power of concentration. Chazal say on the pasuk, Zos HaTorah Adam Ki Yamos Ba'Ohel. that ein divrei Torah miskayim el b'mishem memis atzmo aleh, someone who's willing to be mosa nefesh for Torah. Shlomo HaMelech writes, af chachmasi amdali Torah shel amanati ba'af, requires a lot of strength and it requires a lot of koach, it requires a lot of zitzfleish, mental toughness. Vayisu merfidim, says the Aruch HaMakadosh, Klai Yisrael had to leave the weakness. Refidim means sherafu yudeim and atodah's weakness. Vayisu merfidim means you require strength. That's preparation number one. We have to mechazik ourselves. We have to focus. We have to energize ourselves. Be prepared for Kabbalah HaTorah. That night of the Leil Shavuos, I always feel that's the strong, it's a strong night. There's a Kol Torah. People are excited. People are pushing themselves. People are energized. You need energy. You need energy. The second thing is Vayachnu Bamidbar. That's why Parshas Bamidbar always comes right before Mamad Har Sinai. Vayachnu Bamidbar says, the Aruch HaYom HaKadosh, what does Midbar signify? What do you mean you have to be Vayachnu Bamidbar as a preparation for Mamad Har Sinai? What's Midbar? Midbar is an area where you have no arrogance, no gaiva, no sense of the greatness of man. Midbar symbolizes desolation, desert, symbolizes humility, symbolizes lack of material comforts, lack of arrogance, lack of gaiva, lack of a person being full of himself. That's why Parshas Bamidbar always comes out before Shavuos. That's why the Torah was given by Moshe Rabbeinu, the most humble of all people. Ha'ish Moshe Anamon Nikol Adam. That's why Har Sinai is the lowest of all the mountains. Chazak HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed Har Sinai to be the lowest of all the mountains. Vayachanu Bamidbar, to prepare oneself for Kabbalah HaTorah, he has to have a feeling of humility, of complete hispatlus, of it's not about me. It's about dedicating myself to something else. That's why the Gemara says in Maseches Tainis that Hoy kol tzamei l'chula mayim ein mayim ela Torah. Ma Torah, just like Mayim always flows from a high place to a low place, so too Divrei Torah ein miskayim ela mi she'osa atzmo namuch, she'osa atzmo shafal, who makes himself low. I believe it's a Gemara in Tainis Dav Zayin, if I'm not mistaken. That a person has to be humble. The person who's humble, who it's not about him, he could be a mekabel haTorah. That's the second preparation. Vayachanu bamidbar. The Klai Yisrael had to encamp in the desert, a place where nobody can be arrogant in the desert. It's just sun and heat and miles of no food, no physical comforts, no creature comforts. A person can't feel arrogant. When you're in your big fancy house, you feel arrogant. When you're out in the desert, that a person feels humble and feels lowly and feels like he needs their bon shalom to survive. That's the attitude that a person has to take towards Limud HaTorah. It's not about me, it's about what the Ribbono Shalom wants. It's about Hashem's Torah. It's about me applying myself and dedicating myself to the Ribbono Shalom's Torah. It's not about me. That's the second thing. And the third thing, which really leads from the second thing, one of my favorite psukim in all Chumash, but of course you're not allowed to say that because we love all the psukim the same way. This first pasuk that I always teach every boy who comes into DRS, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, that's the third part of the pasuk. The importance of attaching yourself to Klal Yisrael, the understanding that Torah is a chelek of all Klal Yisrael. Like Chazal say in the mnemonic device, Yisrael is osios yesh shishim ribo osios la Torah. The word Yisrael symbolizes the attachment of Gans Klal Yisrael, shishim ribo osios, all of the Jewish people to the Torah. Vayichan sham Yisrael k'neged ahar, Rashi says, famously, k'ishachad b'lev echad. What does this mean? That achdus, togetherness, believing in all of Klal Yisrael is a prerequisite to Kabbalah HaTorah. Believing that Torah is the morasha, is the inheritance of all of Klal Yisrael, is a prerequisite. A person who thinks that only his derech, only his rabbein, only his portion, only his section, only his little corner of Torah, such a person does not have a chelek in Torah. You have to have, that's like the Zohar says, the famous Zohar, Yisrael v'oraisa v'kud shabrichu chadu. Yisrael v'oraisa chadu. Klal Yisrael and Torah are two halves of the same coin. Chadu. Klal Yisrael and Torah Yisrael are two halves of the same thing. That's why there had to be Achdus as a prerequisite. That's why you needed Vayichan Sham Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't give the Torah until all of Klai Yisrael was as one. That's why the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Hadar Kiblu B'Me'ach HaShverosh, even though the first time was Kafalei Ma'arke Gigas, they were forced into it, but they accepted it willingly again the second time during the Yom Tov of Purim, and there also you had an Achdus. You had Esther said, Lech Kenosis Kala Yehudim, because Achdus is a prerequisite for Mamad Har Sinai. This is also related to another famous idea. I mentioned that the first Kabbalah Satorah wasn't exactly willing. It wasn't Hashem had to force a mountain over our heads. So everybody asked the Kasha, it says Nasev and Ishma, the Klal Yisrael willingly ran and accepted the Torah. If you had a mountain standing over your head, you'd also run and accept the Torah. So everybody asked the Kasha, how do you put these two ideas together? How can you say Nasev and Ishma together with Kaf Aleim Harki Gigas? So Tosfos on the page over there, Masechta Shabbos on Daf Peches says, the answer is that really Klal Yisrael was willing to accept it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu was afraid that when we saw the fire, we would back out. When we saw the danger of a person who crosses the Ribbono Shel Olam but doesn't stay with Torah, the negative half of it, we back out. So therefore, you had to be Kafalei Makigas. Really, we were willing. Klal Yisrael ran forward and said, Nasev and Ishma, we want to all be part of this. Klal Yisrael knew that we had a instinctive connection with Torah. We had a natural connection. Soloveitchik developed a beautiful idea connected to the famous Gemara in Nida. You know, the Gemara in Nida says that a baby gets taught the entire Torah. A baby in the womb gets taught the entire Torah. The Gemara in Nida says the baby in the womb gets taught the entire Torah. And then the Malach comes, and what happens? The Malach smacks him on the lips and makes him forget it. So asks the Olam, what's the point of learning the entire Torah in the womb if the Malach's just going to come and make you forget it? What's the point of learning the whole Torah? Why does the Malach have to teach you? So Soloveitchik said, beautiful pshat in that Gemara. It's the same thing that we're saying. What we're saying is that Klal Yisrael has an instinctive, organic connection with Torah. The whole Klal Yisrael, that's the Aruch Chaim's third pshat. Vayichan Sham Yisrael ki ishechad ba'achdus. The whole Klal Yisrael has to be part of Kabbalah's Torah, because that's why Hashem teaches us the whole Torah in the womb. Even if you're going to forget it later, but when you learn something the second time, it feels like something. Oh, I learned this once before. I have an organic connection. The Klal Yisrael has a natural connection, an organic connection. When we're in the womb, that's when you develop all of your DNA from the womb. So Torah is part of the DNA of Klal Yisrael. That's what the Gemara Nida is trying to say. Torah is part of the DNA. Yisrael v'oraisa chadu. Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, are one. We have a natural, instinctive connection with Torah. It's part of our DNA. That's why we're taught in the womb. So said Rav Soloveitchik, pshat in the Gemara Nida. So some say that we said Nasev and Ishma, we ran willingly toward it, we felt that organic connection. But Hashem was afraid that when we see the Eish HaGedolah, so says Tosfos, when we would see that there's punishment, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam who also is of all-consuming fire and is able to punish us, then we'd back out. So that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam was Kafalei Ma'agigas. That's Tosfos' answer. And the Medrash Tanchuma Noach says that Nasev and Ishma was on the Torah Shebichsav. But all the details of the Torah Shebaal Peh, that's vast, that's difficult, that's hard. There's no dots, there's no periods, there's no question marks. That's difficult, so that we weren't so willing to run and accept. That's very hard. Machshakim, that's darkness, that's difficult to understand. So that we weren't so excited about. That the bones had to be kafalei ma'arke gigas. That he had to force us into. My favorite pshat is the Or Sameach, is the Meshech Chachmas pshat, Rav Meir Simcha. He says there really was no mountain. There was no mountain. The Medrash is just being, as Midrashim often are, allegorical. What does it mean, Kafalei Ma'arke Gigas? It means that the experience of Mamad Har Sinai was so powerful. It was so real. It was so emesdik. It was so profound, so
so real. If you were standing and you heard the Rav Hirshel and the Melech Machi and Melech HaKadosh Baruch himself come down on Har Sinai and teach Torah Klal Yisrael, you had no choice but to accept it. It was Kaf Aleim HaKagigis, figuratively, says the Rav Meir Simcha, says the Meshech HaKamah. It was such a powerful experience that you were forced, you had no choice but to accept it. Like when you see an open miracle, when you experience the Yad Hashem in your life so clearly, so you're forced to accept it. So, Kaf Aleim Har Kigigis, says the Meshech Chachma, it didn't really happen. So there's no stira. Yeah, we said Nasav Nishma because we were so awe-inspired by that. This also relates to one final point Rav Salvechik said so beautifully about Nasav Nishma. Right? Nasav Nishma, this is such a great thing, right? We just ran ahead and we did it without thinking. That's what Judaism is about. Doing things without thinking. Nasa, and then, we'll do it first and think later. Right? Do it first and think later. This is such a great zach. That's not what Judaism believes. That's not what Judaism teaches. That's not what Judaism teaches. Think first before you act. Think. You have to have kavana. Mitzvah tzrichas kavana. You got to think first. What's this nasa v'nishma? What's such a gevaldik zach? Nasa v'nishma? We did. We'll do first. We'll think about it later. So Salvechik developed based on the Mekubalim. You all know that Rav Salvechik in his youth, wasn't such a litvak. He learned from a Chabad Chassid. So Mestama, when he learned about Ratzon Elyon and Ratzon Tachton, it wasn't later on in the University of Berlin. It was from his early studies with from the Chabad Chassidim. It's printed in Reflections of the Rav, this piece of Torah. He writes there that he said that there's two ways people make decisions in life. There's something called the Ratzon Tachton decision. The Kabbalists have the Ratzon Tachton decision. What's a Ratzon Tachton decision? You line up your ducks in a row, like you want to know, what courses should I take in college? What course should I take? Which professor should I take? So you make a calculation. Well, this professor, maybe he's a little easier. Maybe this professor is a little more interesting. Maybe this professor assigns a lot of work. But this professor I'm going to learn a lot from. So you got to decide. Right, this professor, there's a lot of front people in the class. Maybe in this, but there'll also be a lot of cheating. You have to figure it out. You have to know what's going on. So that's called a Ratzon Tachton decision. You line your ducks up in a row and you see, okay, here's the pros, here's the cons, I make a decision. That's a Ratzon Tachton decision. What should I eat for breakfast today? Let's see. How fat am I, right? Should I, on the one hand, Raisin Bran is much more healthy than Dunkin' Donuts, right? So you have to figure out. How much do I weigh? Shavuos is coming up. How many calories am I going to eat on Shavuos? I got the cheesecake, but I only had fleishiks the first night. So you have to figure out, what am I going to eat? What, you have to make the calculation. You line up your ducks. That's called a Ratzon Tachton. That's a rational decision. Most decisions that you make in life, you're supposed to have rational decisions. The Seder of Soloveitchik, there's some decisions that are not Ratzon Tachton decisions. The Kabbalists call them Ratzon Elyon decisions. Ratzon Elyon decisions. Ratzon Tachton means your rational, logical way of making decisions. My Rebbe Rav Blachman used to joke all the time. When you decide which girl to marry, so that's not a Ratzon Tachton decision. How do you make the decision? You say, well, let's see. This girl will provide for me X amount of loads of laundry and X amount of meals. She can cook this amount of meals and she's this good a cook, right? And she... If you go on a date like that, so let's try to figure out. Let's see. Let's line up. Let's line up the pros and the cons. Blachman used to say Rav Salvechik said the same thing. The decision about who to marry is not a Ratzon Tachton decision. It's a Ratzon. Yeah, of course you have to go through. You have to go through the Ratzon Tachton. You have to say, well, is she going to be a good influence on me in my life? Am I going to be happy with this? You have to go through all the important decisions. Am I attracted to her? All that's important, of course. You have to do all that. But the bottom line final decision, that could be by a lot of girls. The bottom line final decision about who a person wants to marry, that's a Ratzon Elyon decision. There's something I have to talk to my wife about the real shidduchim advice. I don't give good advice, but my wife gives good advice. But ultimately, the decision is because... There's a meeting of the minds. There's a meeting of the hearts. There's something that you feel about this union that it's going to be something that's going to be something good for you, long term. It's not always like that, but that's a Ratzon Elyon decision. Or Salvechik gave another example. the great generals in battle, the great generals, Napoleon, the great generals, it's not just, they're not great generals just because they went to West Point and studied all of the books about war. You can have studied all the great books and learned from all the great generals. The great generals in battle have a chush. They have a sense. They have a sense in battle. They could, the enemy's going here. He could feel it. He could feel the battle. He goes around. The great generals, they don't just make all the decisions based on all the rational, what all the books say about how to conduct warfare. They feel it. They have an instinct. They have an instinct about how to react in battle. That's what the Rav Soloveitchik called the Ratzon Elyon decision. Said Rav Soloveitchik, Naseh v'Nishma was not a Ratzon Tachton decision. It wasn't that El Klaisel said, oh, let's take a look at the Torah. Let's say, well, maybe these mitzvahs we can deal with. These mitzvahs we can't deal with. Like I said, like the Meshech Chachma said, the experience of Mamet Harsina was so profound and so sincere and so real. And it was something that Klaisel just felt. This is for us. Yisrael v'oraisa chadu. Klal Yisrael felt in Har Sinai like they never felt before. They felt that there was a Ratzon Elyon. It didn't bother them what exactly it did say in the Torah, didn't say in the Torah. They felt through the Gilui. Naseh v'Nishma means, Naseh, we feel this is truth. We feel this is emes. We feel that this is what we were destined. This is our destiny. This is what we were taught in our womb. This is what we were growing. This is the milk that we grew up with. That's the relationship that Am Yisrael has always had with Torah, and that Am Yisrael hopefully always will have with Torah. It was a Ratzon Elyon decision. So you're right, most decisions are supposed to be, you're supposed to first think. But this wasn't a decision that involved the first thing. It was that Klal Yisrael felt it to be true. Klal Yisrael, 600,000 men, 2 million people, witnessing Gilui Shechina by Mamet Har Sinai, the whole experience was so awe-inspiring that we felt it to be true. And that's why we read the Torah on Shavuos morning with the Kriyas HaTorah. We again read Aseres HaDibros. We're trying to recreate that experience. That's why, could be, I never saw this anywhere, but I think it's Emes. That's why it could be that when we recreate Mamet Har Sinai Shavuos morning, we're being Mekayim, the mitzvah Saseh Midoraisa, according to the Ramban, of Hishamer Lecha, Pentishcha Chesedvar Mesheroi Necha. Which the Ramban learns is one of the Sheish Zachrios, one of the six things you have to remember is Mamet Har Sinai. How are we Mekayim that? So the guys who say the Sheish Zachrios, they have to davening every morning. Maybe you do. Nobody ever told me to say that. I don't say that after davening every morning. But the people who do it, so Mestama, you're Mekayim, the mitzvah Saseh, according to the Ramban, if you say it every day. But if you don't say it every day, like me, so how you mekayim this in the stomach, the reading of the Torah on Shavuos morning, that's a kiyum mitzvah saseh midoraisa, according to the Ramban, of Yishamer Lecha, because the Ramban says there's a mitzvah not just to remember Torah, right? Rashi says it means don't forget any Torah. Wow, we'd be violating a lot. If Rashi's right, lahalacha, we all probably violate a lot of Isurim every day. Rashi seems to say every time you forget a word of Torah, you violate an Isur. I don't know. Rashi seems to imply. The Ramban says that's not what it means. It means there's a mitzvah saseh midoraisa to remember Ma'amad Har Sinai. When do we remember Ma'amad Har Sinai? On Shavuos morning, we stand up and we recreate Ma'amad Har Sinai. Right, Soloveitchik has a whole piece of Torah about that. That's why we divide it up into Dibros and not into Sukkim, right? We read the Tama Elyon because we're recreating Ma'amad Har Sinai, which we're saying it over in Dibros because we're trying to re-experience the whole thing. So hopefully we can have these feelings. We're not going to be Zarcha, and unless maybe we will be Zarcha, but we're not going to have Gilui Shechina. I remember when I lived in Eretz Yisrael for the year, when I was in 7th grade, my family made Aliyah. We didn't make Aliyah. We went to Israel for a year. We were trying out that maybe we were going to make Aliyah. So in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, everybody walks. If you think you don't learn, if you think learning is bad, Shavuos night here. And Eretz Yisrael, forget about it. Yerushalayim, you're finished by 2 in the morning. That's it. The night's over. And you got to walk to the Kotel. So everybody in the whole city of Yerushalayim, everybody walks to the Kotel. And I'm losing my breath. Otherwise, I would scream this, but I'm already losing my breath. It happens to me all the time when I get too excited during shiur. Nobody should be nervous. I'm not having a heart attack. I'm just losing my breath. So I remember I was 12 years old. I was living in Eretz Yisrael on Shavuos night.
and my father took me by the hand through the streets of Yerushalayim, and you start off and it's just you. And then you have another 10 people, and then the group gets bigger, then you meet people from the other street, then you walk with a group of 20, of 50, of 100, of 200, of 500, of 1,000. I was completely blown away. By the time we walked into the old city at 4 in the morning, I was walking literally with a group of probably 5,000 people in my group. And then you walk straight through the Arab Shuk, nobody cares on Shavuos night, it's all, you walk straight through the Shuk, and you come down and you turn around that last bend and you open up, and I saw there was already 40,000 people at the Kotel. There were soldiers on top of the wall. There were soldiers standing on top of the wall. My father and I together, both of us thought Mashiach was coming. I had never seen a sight like that in my life. At 12 years old, to walk over the walls, and you walk around and you see all of Klai Yisrael there, Yontif Dik. I said, what are the soldiers doing on top of and the sun was rising behind the Kotel, and the soldiers are standing on top of the mountain. My father, Mamish, thought Mashiach was coming. So did I. We had never, either of us, seen a scene like that. Unfortunately, Mashiach didn't show up that Yontif, but every Shavuos we have the opportunity to re-experience that Gilui Shechin of Mamad Har Sinai. Let's prepare for the three preparations and let's experience it. Let's get excited about our learning Shavuos night. And hopefully we'll all be zeichet to have a Kabbalah Satorah, which be zeichet to that time when it will be Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. May that day come and be as Mashiach said, Kedem Meher V'Yameinu Amen.